Fran fam, what's going on? Listen, before we start this podcast episode, I have a very, very small favor to ask of each and every single one of you guys. I appreciate the support that all of you have been showing for the podcast up until this point, but we want to try and get these episodes out to as many people as possible. And how we do that on the audio side is by leaving a review and dropping a 5-star rating. So if you've been a consistent listener of the pod, please, before we get this episode started, it only takes a couple of seconds, leave a review. It could be a 2-word, 3-word, 4-word review, or just leave a rating. Do something to get the word out so that we can get the Marvin Francois Show to more listeners moving forward. Outside of that, love you guys, appreciate the support, but without further ado, let's get into this episode.
Each bank has their own internal bank rating score, so I know that we're very familiar with Navy Federal. I know that we, you know, and then one of the quickest ways for you to get your internal bank rating score is simply to lock your credit profile and apply for a new product. You're going to be denied, but you're not actually trying for this application to be approved. You just want to check and see where your internal data points are at. So that's how I gather data, is I'll lock my consumer reports, TransUnion, Experian, and Equifax, and I'll apply for a product. One, this allows me to get the internal bank rating score if I've already been banking with them. And secondly, I get updated data points on what bureau they're using as of today. American Express recently switched from, they were solely Experian only, but now they're starting to pull from TransUnion in certain geographical regions. So whenever you lock a bureau, you build in with the bank, you lock your bureaus, and then you apply for a credit card, one is going to tell you what bureau they're going to pull. And secondly, very, very important that people often look over. If you look on the very back of a sheet, it's going to say such and such bank is issued by Eline Financial Services. Now you have the underwriter.
The biggest risk that most entrepreneurs take is trying to build a successful business without funding. But that risk is a reality for 1 out of every 3 entrepreneurs because their personal credit isn't where it needs to be in order for them to access that capital. Now, the truth is you can close the gap between where your business is versus where you want it to be by leveraging business credit, but if your personal credit report is poor, 99% of banks and lenders are going to deny you from doing so. And I should know, because a couple of years ago, I leveraged my personal credit report to get funding from Chase to start my company. And now that very same company, Takeoff Financial, is serving entrepreneurs just like you that are looking to restore their credit to get access to 5 to 6 figures in funding. So if you want to go from risk to reward, click the link above or below this video to schedule your free consultation so that we can restore your credit and put you in position to access capital to build the business of your dreams.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Marvin Francois Show, your number one source for all things business, finance, and investing. And today is a very special day because our guest today is a personal and business funding strategist. He's the owner and founder of Reinvented Consulting Mentorship Group, where he's helped both consumers and business owners unlock hundreds of thousands of dollars in funding. To date, he has been able to access over $1.5 million in funding and counting for himself, and he's providing free value information around how he's been able to do so for viewers like all of you. When it comes to all things credit, our guest today cannot be beat because he ensures that when it comes to the game he gives, everybody eats. And today, he's here to do more of the same. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here with the one, the only, my guy, Mr. Deb Washington. What's going on, family? How are you?
Bro, I never had an introduction quite like that, bro. So I'm blessed. Pleasure to be here on this amazing platform. And salute to you and everything that you're doing, bro. Continue to grow and continue to just feed the people. Because you making sure everybody eats, not just me. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You're doing the same as yourself, bro.
Man, I appreciate it, man. I'm extremely excited to get connected with you. Obviously, both you and I, we frequent this credit space. And for me, I'm always looking for different people I can get connected with, different people that I can bring on here to give additional game on top of the game that I'm given, right? Because I'm pretty well versed when it comes to personal credit and business credit, but I'd be remiss if I think that I know everything under the sun, right? Moreover, I want to be able to bring on heavy hitters like yourself to come on here and give extra sauce on top of the sauce that I'm already given. So this was definitely in the making for quite some time. Happy that we were finally able to make it happen, brother. And I'm excited to give the people the game. I'm very excited to give the people the game. You ready?
Yes, sir. Let's eat, bro. Say your grace.
Let's do it. Let's go. So first and foremost, before we get started, I know who you are, but I want to make sure that the people who are watching this are as familiar as they need to be with who you are as well. So before we dive into the game, take a minute to let the people know who exactly is Dub Washington.
First off, follow me on social media at Dub Washington on all social media platforms. But who is Dub Washington is such a deep question because it's more so about where I've come from more than who I am. I came from a 426 credit score to well over 800. I come from a single family or a single mother household, right? Single parent household. But yet I'm raising three kings that, which we were talking before we started this, bro, like there's no sleep in a house full of boys, right?
Right, right.
So yeah, I'm a father, I'm a husband, and entrepreneur. All things falls under that umbrella. So bro, like that's pretty much just a quick thing about me. And I make sure everybody eats. So I'm just anxious to be here, give everybody the game. And like I said, man, say grace because you're going to be in for a full pack show.
I love it, bro. I love it. So, you know, one of the titles that you mentioned, like you said, of course, you're an entrepreneur. For me, I'm always curious to know because entrepreneurship is such an interesting space for us to fall into, right? And for a lot of us, some of us were born into entrepreneurship. Other of us kind of just stumbled into it. What exactly was your introduction to becoming an entrepreneur?
Man, crazy, crazy story. During COVID, a lot of people put a negative notion on the COVIDpreneurs and all of these different things saying we ain't got no skin in the game. I'm not afraid to say or ashamed to say that I came in the game during COVID and I was working as a shipping and receiving warehouse supervisor. So I'm driving forklift 9-10 hours a day. And I always had a passion for podcasts, right? Which I don't know any other podcast is beating this one that I'm on right now. So it's a pleasure to be here.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here first. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's good. So I've always been an avid listener of podcasts, and I was at work one day, right? And I just so happened to stumble across a brother, you know, Marcus Barney, right? Him 500. And I heard the game that he was speaking, and I was like, I have to put a face to this voice that I'm hearing. And it didn't look like anything that I've seen or any person that I've seen that was talking about credit. So I went and then I invested into mentorship and I understood the power of that. But once I got started along that way and just being motivated to want different, because it's very hard listening to Him 500 or David Shands. And then they're telling you, you know, you have to leave the 9-to-5, you know, to really build generational wealth. And I'm like, I'm on that forklift 9-10 hours a day. And I was like, I have to do something to where I can spend more time with my kings. So, man, I just got access to this information, understood how credit could change my life. Because I was, like most people, bro, that we come across, I was oblivious to what credit could do. I always thought if I had cash that I could do whatever I needed to do. And long story short, bro, I wasn't able to. So I understood the importance of credit. I invested into mentorship. And, bro, within, I want to say, the first 90 days, within 3-month time frame, I was putting my 2-week notice in because I developed the best time seller, the reinvented MSE book. And then I target a specific niche, and then everything just took off for me from there, brother.
Man, and then fast forward several years later, 1.5 million and counting later. I mean, that's not too bad. You know, that's not too bad of a turnaround, if you ask me. But I think, you know, what's great about you is not only have you been able to just, you know, from what you just touched on now, and even from me learning about your story, you know, off camera and everything else, to see what you've been able to do is great. But to see the impact that you've been able to have on other people who come from similar, you know, situations like yourself, trying to leave that 9-to-5, go all in on entrepreneurship, I think is even greater. You know, we talked about you and the amount of funding you've been able to secure. Talk a little bit about your mentorship group and some of the success that some of your mentees have been able to have up until this point with the game that you've been able to give them about personal credit and business credit.
Yeah, great question. So with a lot of the mentees, I recently had a mentorship or I previously had a mentorship to where it was rotating, right? To where it was a structured sort of sequence, right? To where week one, we're going to talk personal credit. Week two, we talk business credit. But what happened was after I went through about 3 or 4 months of that, I actually got jealous of the mentees because I knew what was coming, but I was seeing the faces of everyone come in, and you know how it is when we first get into these mentorships and we learn new information, the excitement that we have. Right. And I'm knowing what's coming. I know the presentation is going to be from the speakers, and I actually got jealous. No lie. Like, I'm probably the first mentor that's going to say I was actually jealous of my mentees. And we're going to really use for context on that because you know how the internet is. But
right.
I was getting jealous of the information whenever they're getting access to it, and I already knew it, and I wasn't elevating myself. So I said, you know what, how can I position myself and my mentees to continuously learn? So I made it a lifetime mentorship. Whenever I made it a lifetime mentorship, that's when the impact really started to happen. because I was in a specific niche, which was, you know, liquidation of credit cards, you know, travel hacking, things like that. But once I had to expound upon that particular area, I was like, you know what? I got to actually start bringing way more value. So now we're talking about passive income. We're talking about real estate investing, Airbnb, like all different topics. And right. I'm alone with my mentees. So that's the thing about my mentorship that I like is it's lifetime. Long as the good Lord keep blessing me, keep having me here kicking, I'll be there every single Tuesday at 8:00.
There you go. I love it, man. I love it. So then, I mean, with that being the case, you know, like I said, I got one of the heaviest hitters in the space right now. I know you give sauce on top of sauce to your mentorship group. But I got to get a little bit of that for my people too. Is that all right with you, Dub? Is that cool with you?
Let's eat. They said that grace. Let's eat.
Let's do it, bro. Let's do it. So I want to talk about all things credit to where people who are watching this episode, man, walk away with the blueprint to where they can hit the ground running, and whether they want to go out and get access to a max amount of funding on a personal side, they could do that. Business side, they could do that. You know, credit hacks that they can do that. So let's break that down piece by piece, right? Mm-hmm. First, let's start on the personal side. If I'm watching this episode right now and I want to run all these different plays, you know, and I know the first step in us doing that is making sure we got our personal credit right. Because if that ain't right, nothing else moves, right? So if I'm watching this, what are some of the first steps I need to take to get my personal credit in a position to where I'm now able to leverage it to start doing things like getting access to funding and beyond?
The first thing that I would do, and I speak on it a lot, is develop banking relationships. And you don't need no credit at all to develop these relationships. You develop these relationships, you audit the bank. I ask people all the time that whenever you go and you apply for a credit card, you apply for an auto loan, any particular type of lending from these institutions, they pull your credit. They pull either your TransUnion, Experian, or Equifax, or a mixture of all three. Mm-hmm. When was the last time that we audited the banks, pulled their credit report, looked at their bank financials? So what I would do whenever I first come in is to understand the trajectory or understand the path that I want to go on. So if I'm trying to build on the personal side, which where we're at, I'm going to go to banks that leans heavy on the personal side, such as your Navy Federals, such as, you know, the local community banks and regional banks. And we're going to get into that here shortly as well.
Of course.
But just understanding, look at their bank financials. Look at their loan portfolio. Are their loans performing or non-performing? Because if they are not performing, it restricts the lending that you're able to get. So before you go out and you start building with any and every institution, you got to understand it's beneficial to you and your financial trajectory, because in this financial literacy space, financial literacy is not a one size fits all. Everybody needs a specifically tailored program.
That's actually the first I've never heard someone say, you know, essentially before we allow the banks to go ahead and, you know, do their due diligence on us, we want to do our due diligence on the banks. What are some of the different, are there resources we can use to do that? Are there certain steps that we need to make sure that we're taking to do that? We just calling in and saying like, yo, send me the bank facts, right? I need to be able to see what's going on in the back end. What does that look like?
So if you, and it's a major, major play right here, man, you got to pay for this. And I'm a firm believer of paying for information, because free information can only get you so far, but you get this free information to lead you to exactly where you need to go. So CU Data, creditunion.data.com, that's a major resource. We also use other websites like iBankNet. We use depositaccounts.com, because whenever you look at the bank's financials and understand it from this aspect, you're able to look at the deposit outflow and the deposit inflow. Like right now in the current climate that we're in, like where's the money going? A lot of the money are leaving from the regional banks, or the deposits are leaving from the regional banks going to the national banks. That's not to say that you shouldn't build with the regional banks, but just watching the money, you always follow the money, no matter if it's stocks, no matter if you're trading options. And the same thing is in the banking sector. You want to follow the money, because regional banks with their commercial real estate lending up they lend it up to 70% of all commercial real estate. And we know the state that commercial real estate is in right now. So back to what I was saying about the non-performing loans, like that is very heavy on their balance sheet. So as the loans are not performing, that strickens the amount of funding that they're able to give out. So CU Data, iBankNet, credit boards, credit pools, all of these are great resources to start whenever you're just coming into the game.
Listen, y'all, we're not even 10 minutes in. He's giving bank names and he's giving resources. Let me sit up. I forgot who I brought on here. Let me sit up. Okay, so let me take it a step further, right? Let's say I'm watching this And I've already taken some steps to create relationships with certain banks. Mm-hmm. I get this information from Dub. I now use these resources. I use the, it was a CU Data, I think it's called?
CU Data.
CU Data. I know about iBankNet and credit boards and some of the other resources that you just talked about. And through me doing research, I realized, okay, I've formed relationships with banks A, B, and C. But really, if I'm really trying to maximize how much funding I'm trying to get and really have a fruitful relationship, I really should be forming relationships with banks D, E, and F. Do I now close my bank account with A, B, and C? Do I just keep it open but now shift more of my focus and priority towards these other banks that fall more in line with this information I've gotten from these resources? What would you say would be the best approach in a situation like that?
Great question. So what I always tell people to do is whenever you first go out, you develop your personal profile, you're 750, and don't get so caught up in the score, because the score absolutely means anything. I want people to look at your credit score as your GPA, but your credit profile as your transcript. You're not going to get into any college based off of your GPA. I got a 4.0 GPA, but you took a whole bunch of electives and you got that. Now someone that comes in with a 3.5 GPA and then they took advanced calculus, they took all of these different, you know, advanced placement courses, they're more qualified. So whenever you're going through and you're studying this and understand that 750 doesn't hold as much weight as the profile, that's when you're able to get to the next level. But even to take it a step further than that. So you said you went to one bank and you got funded, right? What I always tell people to do, when you get your first $20,000, $25,000 credit card, the first thing that we want to do, we're ready to invest. Oh, I want to do stock options. I want to do this. We have all of these ideas, but be very strategic in the banks that you build with. Because we're going to talk about some frequently asked questions that I ask these relationship managers whenever I go in. But take your first funding on one card, right? And then you go and develop three more banking relationships. So you'll get $25,000 from Bank of America. But then you take this full $25,000 and then you go and develop a relationship with PNC. You go and develop a relationship with Wells Fargo. You develop a relationship with PSECU. You notice that I got funded with one bank and I all went to other banks that pull specifically from Experian. Now you develop three different relationships for this one bureau. You develop that deposit relationship, your internal bank rating, which we're going to get super spicy. And develop these relationships. And then we go for funding after 60 to 90 days because we developed that internal bank rating relationship. We got that deposit relationship because we liquidated from Bank of America to go and build multiple relationships. 90-day time frame, we're going to go for funding. We are looking as if we're banking with them for the long term. See yourself as the banker. Would you want to lend to a person that just comes in 30 days and asks for money, or someone that deposited the account $10,000 to $15,000, you know, depending on the amount, and then you wait after 90 days and then ask for the money? You're more privy to get a bigger bag that way.
Okay, see, you taking it somewhere I didn't even know he was going to go. But if you want to go there, we're going to go there. I knew he was going to come here and give some salt. I didn't know he was going to get spicy like this. So if you really want to go, because you said something, I got to call you out on it now. You said something. My ears perked up when you said it. Mm-hmm. You talked about some of the questions that you're normally asking these bankers whenever you're going in and forming these relationships. You said a couple other things too, but I want to start there first.
Let's get it.
We go to these banks. We form these relationships. Like you said, the same way that the bank is doing their due diligence on us, we got some homework to do too, right? Because we're trying to make sure this relationship is as fruitful as possible. What are some of those questions that we should be asking these relationship bankers when we're going in and opening these business check-ins and business savings accounts?
I love this. Like, you get me in my element right now. Like,
let's go. Let's do it.
So this is 100,000 views in a day, bro.
Easy.
So whenever I first go into these institutions, first you want to know what bureau are you going to pull. Inside of what bureau that you're going to pull, you also want to know for each product, what bureau do you use? Let's say PNC, for example. We go to PNC and then we get funded on a business credit card. They're going to pull our Experian FICO 8 score. But then when you go for a business line of credit, they're going to soft pull your Equifax. So it's the same institution, but it's a different product. So whenever you understand, one, what bureau they pull from, two, what product for each bureau. Now, a step further, you want to say, okay, well, I understand that you may pull Experian for your credit cards, Equifax on a soft pull for your business lines of credit. Now I want to know, how high do your limits go? What's your max lending exposure? Like, these questions we're not asking because
what's max? I didn't mean to cut you off. What's max lending exposure? What is that?
Max lending exposure particularly is the limit that the credit cards can go up to.
Okay, so, gotcha.
So Navy Federal, right? Once you get $80,000 on the Navy Federal card, you can't exceed that amount. Mm-hmm. So if you're going out and then you develop that and you got the flagship card, because you can't get the $80,000 limit on the signature rewards. If you want a higher limit, you're then going to have to product switch to the flagship card. Then you can have $80,000. But once you've got the max lending exposure with the personal consumer credit, you can't get any higher limit than the $80,000 across total accounts. So now with you going out and you trying to build with more relations, I mean, you're trying to build other products with Navy Federal. And if you try to go for another credit card, you're going to get denied. So knowing the max lending exposure, knowing the max limit that these credit cards go up to, and also how many products am I able to obtain? Because you could get, like I say, if 80,000 is the max lending exposure and you got 30 on this card, 40 on this card, and then you try to go for the flagship, the most that you're going to be able to get is the 10,000. So make sure you understand that as well. So it's really, it's super spicy, like how you really audit these banks, look at the financials and understand what you're getting. Do you have multiple products? I will never go to a bank that doesn't have more than two credit cards, right? Simply because once the 0% APR from one credit card ends, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to open a new credit card, get another 0% APR phase, and then I'm going to reallocate that limit to the other card. Now I just combine two credit cards, and then I got actually 0% interest on these cards.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is about to be a fun. This is that we just warming up. We're just warming up. Okay, so let's now take it a step further then, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've gone into these banks. We've sat down with these relationship managers. We're very clear on the resources we need to use to find out what banks we're going to, right? That's going to give us the biggest bang for our buck. We're clear on the questions that we're asking these relationship managers in regards to the credit products and everything else. Another thing that you mentioned earlier that I don't hear a lot of people talk about, bank rates. The bank rating system. Could you talk a little bit about what that is and how it works in relation to us building this relationship that we have with these banks?
Each bank has their own internal bank rating score. So I know that we're very familiar with Navy Federal. I know that we, you know, and then one of the quickest ways for you to get your internal bank rating score is simply to lock your credit profile and apply for a new product. You're going to be denied, but you're not actually trying for this application to be approved. You just want to check and see where your internal data points are at. Mm-hmm. So that's how I gather data is I'll lock my consumer reports, TransUnion, Experian, and Equifax, and I'll apply for a product. One, this allows me to get the internal bank rating score if I've already been banking with them. And secondly, mm-hmm. I get updated data points on what bureau they're using as of today. American Express recently switched from, they were solely Experian only, but now they're starting to pull from TransUnion certain geographical regions. So whenever you lock the bureau, you build in with the bank, you lock your bureaus, and then you apply for a credit card. One is going to tell you what bureau they're going to pull. And secondly, very, very important that people often look over. If you look on the very back of the sheet, it's going to say such and such bank is issued by Eline Financial Services. Now mm-hmm. you have the underwriter.
Okay, let's keep going. Let's take it a step further. Okay, so we're clear on that. Now another step forward, right? When we're going for funding, when we're going for funding, more so on the business side, a lot of times most of us, especially as new entrepreneurs, we have LLCs, right? But you know, and I know there are multiple other entity structures. So we have LLCs, we have S corps, we have C corps, right? We have sole props. Does the type of entity structure that we have affect how much funding that we're able to secure? Like how much are the banks weighing the kind of entity structure we have when it comes to how much funding we're looking to get?
As far as data points, I can't specifically say that having an S corp or C corp will actually give you more funding, because everything is based off of your personal profile. Unless you're over the $4 or $5 million threshold, then you can start to get corporate credit. But everything is solely based on the actual structure. I mean, not the actual structure, but it's actually based on your personal profile, the structuring of your personal profile. So I can't say for sure that, hey, an S corp can get funded more than a C corp or LLC, et cetera, because like I've been able to run at 1.5, a little bit over 24 months with one LLC.
Okay. So now here's another thing too, right? Because I know you, one of the things you mentioned before was you had talked about how you were very strategic with the types of banks that you were referencing and how they all pulled from Experian, right? Mm-hmm. There's this process that we go through of trying to get funding. You know it and I know it as different people have different names for it, but essentially it's credit stacking, right?
Correct.
So when we're going through this the purpose of credit stacking, we know maximize funding, minimize inquiries, right? What are some of the biggest mistakes that you see people making when they're going through the credit stacking process that we can now make sure we avoid to ensure that we're getting a minimal amount of inquiries for as much capital as we can get, whether it's on the personal side or on the business side?
Great question. I always say whenever you understand, when you pull this bank data, you understand the lending application rules for the bank, you're able to essentially get multiple products. So we call it double dipping. It could be triple dipping. You know, this is whenever you're able to go in, they pull your credit one time. And then with credit unions, sometimes they may pull your credit for membership. But then once they pull your credit for membership, you have a 30-day time frame to go in and get funded, and they're able to use that same exact inquiry. So, for example, like we know banks such as American Express, they'll mm-hmm. pull our credit card. I mean, they'll pull our credit profile, whether it's Experian or TransUnion. They'll pull it one time, then every credit card or every product after that is no longer issued a hard pull on your profile. So we mm-hmm. prioritize the banks where we can get multiple products and they only pull our credit once. Truist is another bank. Like you can go in Truist. I've seen people get access to 3 or 4 credit cards with no inquiry or even at most one inquiry. So just understanding this, asking these relationship managers, asking these, you know, your rep, like, hey, how many products can I go for on this particular hard inquiry? So that's very important along the way in your journey getting funded.
50% of businesses fail within the first 5 years, and 38% of those businesses fail due to lack of access to capital. But 100% of business owners who are watching this aren't going to have that issue, because I'm about to teach y'all how to bankroll your business. What's going on, family? My name is Marvin Francois, and back in 2020, I was a new entrepreneur with little to no idea on how I was going to build my first successful business. But fast forward a couple of years later, I've been able to build multiple successful six-figure businesses by leveraging business credit. And today, I want to give entrepreneurs the game on how they can do the same. So this Thursday, I'm going to be hosting my free Bankroll Your Business Masterclass, where I'm going to teach you for how to go from having bad personal credit and little to no business funding to having perfect personal credit and access to a minimum of $50,000 in funding for your business. Spots are going fast and the clock is ticking. So if you haven't already, click the link above or below this video to secure your seat. And I'll see y'all on Thursday. Peace.
Now, before we dive deeper into the business side, switching quickly back over to the personal side, because once again, we're not only able to get funding on the business, we can also get funding on the personal. One of the downsides that you and I know when it comes to getting funding on a personal side is the utilization aspect of things, right? You get access to $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 in funding. You can't really max it out the way that you want to on the business side, because now it's going to tank your personal credit score. Let's say I find myself in a scenario where I get access to X amount of funding on a personal side. I need to run a play. I have something I need to execute on. I max out all my cards. Now my utilization is shot. Are there any strategies that we can utilize to where I'm able to hide my utilization to where it's not hurting my personal credit score so that I can still continue to use this funding to do whatever I need to do with it?
Yeah, for that particular strategy, if you go anywhere over, you know, 50 to 60%, I always tell my mentors, and people who book the one-on-ones with me, is never go 50% of your utilization, especially on the personal side. And the reason why I say this is if you use 50% of your utilization, you still have the ability to hide the other 50, because it only can be 100% of anything. So right. If you take your credit limits, if you have 100,000 in available credit limits, don't exceed 50,000. Because if you do, you're not able to hide the utilization. But if you get to the 50,000, you still can hide that utilization to where it actually shows you're using 0%. So you will go through, you would get as close as to 50,000 that you possibly could for, let's say you had a stack of 10 cards, right? Each mm-hmm. card had a $10,000 limit. You would take 5 cards and make them due on the 1st or the 7th, whatever date. Then you would take the remaining 5 cards, which is slide deck B, and you would tell them, you would call up the issuer and change that due date to 14 days out. Now, mm-hmm. we're going to get super spicy with manufacture spending, liquidation, all of these things. So listen. Now you can manufacture spend, right? For the people that's familiar with that term, you can mm-hmm. manufacture spend, and then you can hide the debt. So you always have 50% available credit, available to you. I mean, you always have 50% utilization out there working for you, but your profile actually reflects 0% because you're hiding the debt.
Perfect. So then now, right, switching back over to the business side, one of the things you mentioned earlier, we both know that not all banks are created equal, right? There's something that are called bank tiers, right? Chase is not in the same tier as a PNC, right? Or a Bank of America is not in the same tier as a Navy Federal, right? For those who aren't familiar, could you talk about the different types of tiers that they are and why our understanding of it is important before we go into our funding process?
Ooh, this is, you about to get me spicy, bro.
Listen, your mentee's going to be upset because I'm mess around and make you drop some of that sauce in here. Listen, bro.
Let's get it. I love it. So with the tier one banks, these are quote unquote too big to fail banks. These are banks that was holding assets over $1 billion, right? These are your Wells Fargo, your U.S. Bank, your Chase, etc. But the thing is that whenever you're dealing with these banks, you got to understand that these are national banks and they are there to service high net worth individuals.
Right.
Meaning that you have individuals that's millions and millions of dollars that's possibly in a CD or they have some type of, a large sum of money sitting with these accounts. But then you go down to level two, these are banks that have a little bit less in assets. Believe it or not, American Express is actually a tier two bank.
I did not know this.
American Express is not a tier one bank. They're actually a tier two bank.
Wow. Did not notice.
Yes. So just understanding, and it's really based off the amount of assets that they have, but not to get it confused. Some of these tier two, tier three banks, like they'll give you the money, but you don't want to have too many low tier banks on your consumer report because it's a thing called comparable credit. It's the equivalent of going out and getting a Sam's card, but a Belk's card or a TJ Maxx or, these store cards, Victoria's Secret, etc.
Right.
And you get these cards and you put them on your profile. Yes, you have a credit limit, but whenever you go to these big banks, they're going to look at that as not comparable credit. So be very mindful of the institutions that you deal with, which goes back to bank auditing, knowing where the assets are located, knowing how many deposits that they have, all of these things that goes into play whenever you're auditing these banks and, determining the tiers.
So now the thing about these tiers, right? With tier two banks, what's interesting about them is that a lot of those tier twos are more so like, excluding like Amex. I actually didn't know that Amex was tier two, but excluding Amex, a lot of tier twos are regional, right? They're specific to certain cities and certain states, and we're only able to get access to them if we live in some of those cities and states. Truist is not available everywhere, right? KeyBank is not available everywhere. PNC is not, I can keep going on and on and on and on. What are some of the, you smiling already. I know you about to let it loose. Listen, what are some of the different strategies that we can now use? If I'm in Iowa, if I'm in Denver and I want to get access to a PNC, I want to get access to a Truist. Are there ways around for me to work around that to where I'm able to create relationships with these banks and get funding from them as well, even if I'm not in the city or state that they're in?
Yes, absolutely. A lot of us know about the foreign entity filing. But I want to get, and I know other people came and talked about it. So we probably got a general concept of that. That's whenever you file to operate in another state, right? But I want to get even more spicier. You know what I'm saying? It's only right that I get even more spicier.
Let's do it.
You can join certain communities, certain programs, et cetera, right? Mm-hmm. And when you join these programs, what's going to happen is they give you access to these regional banks, these credit unions. So you can join the American Consumer Council. Now, what the American Consumer Council allows you to do is like a backdoor method to join these community local credit unions. You go in, right? And then you can pay for a lifetime membership, right? $75. But I got one better for you. I'll make sure that you eat. And y'all said y'all grace before you came. So if you go to American Consumer Council, you log in, you create your account. Whenever you go to check out, you put code Andrews, A-N-D-R-E-W-S. This is going to allow you to get access to the American Consumer Council completely free. Now you have a backdoor method to get into these local credit unions, these, community banks, because you bypass restrictions or you bypass the geo restrictions. So that's the play for y'all right there that y'all can run right now. So you can get access to these banks. And it's a plethora of banks and credit unions that you get access to just from joining the American Consumer Council. Now it's on you to do the auditing to determine, okay, does this fit my personal funding strategy? Does this fit my business funding strategy? And take it all from there.
Listen, this brother did not. I'm about to. Man, I'll throw these glasses right now. I'll throw these glasses right now. This brother ain't coming on here to play. All right. So let's and that's and I want to make sure they got that. That's American Credit Council. American Consumer Council. You go to the website. Normally they charge a fee, but if they use code Andrews, they now get access to this foundation to where now it opens up the door for them to create memberships with these other banks that they normally wouldn't have access to because of whatever city or state that they live in.
Absolutely.
Beautiful. So now let's take it a step further, right? Because when we talk about going for funding, another key component of it is the actual application process in and of itself. So for you, I'm actually curious to know with this, when it comes to us going out and trying to, you know, actually apply for these cards, you've heard the myths and I've heard the myths when we've come into the space. I've heard some people say, if you want to get max amount of capital, you got to apply online, 3 o'clock in the morning, you understand, and fill out the application this way. And that's what's going to get you approved because it's not going to get a person. You'll get a computer, X, Y, and Z. And then other people will say, you have to go in the bank and sit down with a relationship manager if you really want to get access to that bag. What from your personal experience, which of the two is the best approach for us to take when we're trying to go out there and get that max amount of funding for ourselves?
Without a doubt, sitting down with the manager, sitting down with the rep is going to push the application through for you. Granted, they can't give you an approval or denial. They're just pushing it through. But in the age of AI, in the age of a lot of, fraudulent activity going on with online services, you're able to bypass the restrictions because you're in there physically. That you give them your license, you give them a debit or credit card with your name on it, right? So they notice you in the flesh. So it removes the fact that you may have, let's just say, like a fraud alert or a previous fraud alert. You may have a freeze or something. Now they know that you're right there, and then they can call up the underwriter. Listen, I've got access to certain underwriters just from a good conversation. So they call up, my rep will call up the underwriter. Hey, I have, you know, Mr. Washington right here. He applied for application. It came back denied due to X, Y, and Z. She said, okay, well, let me check that out. Everything looked good, 800 plus. You know, he's been banking with us for, you know, a minimum of 90 days. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, he's able to call on the phone, go through to the underwriter, push it right through, application approved. Hey, you approved for $25,000, $30,000. So going in and talking to them and having them submit the information easily, is way easier to get approved for higher limits than actually going through online.
Got you. So another thing from there, right? Let's say whether we apply online or we apply in person, we apply for a credit card or some type of a funding product, whether it's a credit card, line of credit. Let's say we go for a credit card. Mm-hmm. We only get approved for like $5,000. We thought we was going to get a nice little 20 piece, nice little 25 piece. We only got like $5,000, right? I don't know what happened. You know, my credit is good. Everything set up the way I thought it was supposed to be set up. But for whatever reason, the bank did not give me what I thought I was supposed to get in funding. What do I now do when I get approved for this minimum amount of funding? And if I'm trying to, you know, whether spin the block, go back and go out and get access to even more. Because I've heard we all know about the reconsideration department. I don't know if that's a route that we want to go, if there's other strategies that we can implement to now go back and get even more funding from that bank than what they initially gave us. Mm-hmm.
So great, great question. And this is where understanding and auditing the banks, because let's just say that some people may be approved for a $5,000 limit or $10,000 limit, may not be what you want. But if you don't know the max lending exposure, you don't know what to ask for. Mm-hmm. On top of the max lending exposure, they may say, okay, well, we give you $50,000 and below, it requires no docs. So if you haven't filed taxes or if you haven't done anything, you don't have the proper documentation, you need to stay at $49,000. You don't need to go anywhere near that 50 because they may be asking you to provide docs. So would you know the max lending exposure? Let's say I get approved for a $20,000 or $30,000 credit card. And I know that the max limit that you can get on this card is $75,000. I'm hitting up reconsideration even if I get approved for the $30,000. You see what I'm saying? So I'm going to go in and say, you know what? I know that the max limit, simply because my colleagues have it, what's needed for me to get access to this limit, especially if it's a 0% APR card, because I need the most as possible that I can get. So I'm going to hit up the reconsideration line. And in my current situation, I'm able to provide docs. Anything that you need, I'm willing to provide to you for me to get access to the most amount or the highest amount possible.
I love it. I love it. Okay, so then from there, right? You slightly touched on this earlier, but like I mentioned, I know that we have different types of funding products. We have credit cards, we have lines of credit, we have installment loans. If I'm looking to go for funding, how does my approach in terms of what funding product that I should be going for vary? Does it vary based off whatever industry I'm in? Because you have people that are trying to get funding for real estate deals and people that are trying to get funding for e-commerce business. Does it vary for the type of, you know, relationship that I have or how much funding I'm looking to get? How, what should my approach be in terms of picking the funding product that I'm looking to go for when I'm going to these banks?
Listen, it's spicy time, bro. So I always ask people this. To answer your question, I'm always going to be on the side of business credit cards over everything, simply because they have a 0% APR. I understand that you can get a line of credit and then you can have $100,000 drop directly into your checking account tomorrow. But if you know how to liquidate credit cards, you know how to manufacture spend, it's the equivalent of having the same thing. But when if you get that business line of credit, they're going to charge you prime rate plus 2.3% or whatever. So with the economy that we're in right now, interest rates are not falling. The Fed said the interest rates are supposed to fall in quarter one this year. It hasn't failed yet. So I'm going to always go to the strength of business credit cards or credit cards in particular, simply for this. Multi-products. Remember, I told you, we auditing the banks. We understand their lending exposure. We understand the lending application rules. If they have multiple products, what I can now do is apply for, let's just say, American Express Blue Business Plus credit card. Yes, you can go and get American Express business line of credit, but let me get this American Express Blue business card, 0% interest for 12 months. At the end of the 12 months, what I'm going to do is go and apply for the Blue business cash. Not only am I going to apply for the Blue business cash, I'm going to reallocate my limit for my Blue business plus over to my Blue business cash. Now I got an additional, let's say I got $20,000 on the first card, 0% APR has ended. I apply for the second Blue business plus, I get another $20,000. Now I can transfer the $20,000 to this new card, close the old card, and then I have $40,000, 0% interest for 12 months. You cannot do that with a business line of credit. You cannot do that with a business loan. You cannot do that with a personal line of credit. They're charging you interest as soon as you accept these offers, especially on a loan. As soon as you get approved for a loan, you have to pay it back. And even if you paid off tomorrow, you're still going to be hit with at minimum 8 to 10% interest rate. A business credit card or a personal credit card, that's why you go to the multiple products, 0% APR phase.
Love it. I love it. Let me ask you this then, right? Before we dive deeper into the credit cards, I know as I kind of, as I study the funding space more and the credit space more, another thing that I'm seeing in terms of just different strategies that people are using, obviously, age plays a tremendous role when we're going out and trying to get access to funding. Mm-hmm. One of the strategies that I heard a lot of people are leveraging now, especially if they're newer in the space, are shelf corporations and leveraging these shelf corporations to where, hey, if I got an LLC or I have a business and it's only been around for a year and a half, let me go buy the shelf corp that's 10, 8, 7 years old and leverage that for me to go out and get the funding. Is that something that you yourself are actively teaching or even using in your own funding strategy to go out and get capital, or are you not a proponent of it?
I'm not against it, but I'm just going to, so if someone has an age corporation, right, and they have documents for this age corporation, there's no way that they're going to sell you an age corporation with proper docs, because this with a strong personal profile, age corporations with docs such as tax statements, they can get access to millions of dollars. So if someone is trying to sell you, I'm not throwing shade at anybody who sells the age corps, but you are getting the actual EIN and you're getting the structure of it. But whenever you're going for higher amounts of capital, whether it be a business line of credit, a business credit card, et cetera, with the lending restrictions that's coming forward to us for the rest of 2024, you're going to be seeing a lot of these no doc plays go out of the window. So now you have this age corporation, but then you don't have a bank account attached to it. So whenever you try to go for funding, they're going to look and say, okay, well, can you give me the last 3 months bank statements? Or this business has been operating since 2010. It is now 2024. But let me get the past 2 years documents. You don't have this information. So with lending going the way that it is in 2024, just be very mindful of the strategy that you take. I would much rather you go out and create a fresh LLC and stand on that personal profile, that personal structure that you have. Once you get to 100,000 on the personal profile. I tell people, get up to 100,000 in limits on the personal profile. Then you only use that as leverage to go and get more funding. Do not ever touch your personal profile once you get access to this. Now you're building on the business credit, and then you know business credit utilization doesn't report outside of TD Bank, Capital One, and Discover. They don't report to the personal profile. So now you're just leveraging this completely perfect profile that you have on the personal side.
Listen, if you're an entrepreneur struggling to get funding because of your bad credit, then this video is for you. You see, I understand that when banks deny businesses for funding, they're not just denying businesses the capital they need, but they're also denying business owners the resources that they need to build the business of their dreams. And as a business owner, I've seen this happen over and over and over and over again, but I want you to know that there's a solution. Because here at Takeoff Financial, we've helped countless entrepreneurs just like you go from having poor personal credit and not being able to access funding to having perfect personal credit that they were able to leverage to access 5 to 6 figures in funding, and we want you to be the next one. So click the link above or below this video to secure your free consultation, and we'll see you on the other side of success, family.
Let's go. All right, so now watch this, right? You gave a lot of game on personal credit and business credit. Phenomenal game, right? But one of the premier things that most people know you for, I've heard some people call you Mr. Credit to Cash. I've heard some people call you the MS man himself. I got to see it to believe it, or I ain't believing it, brother. I got to see it for myself, right? Dub just taught me how to get anywhere upwards of 100,000 plus in funding. He went and told me to go ahead and get in business credit cards. I got these business credit cards, right? Now I have to go run a play. I need to get the cash off the cards. I don't know how to do it. I'm going to go to the man himself to teach me step by step how I can go ahead and get the money off these cards so I can go ahead and run the plays I need to run. So, Dub, walk me through it. Talk me through it. If I just got access to funding, whether it's on a personal side or a business side, how am I getting this cash, or how am I getting the money off of these cards?
A lot of people are going to say Plastic Milio, but you're going to pay anywhere from 2 to 5% for the total amount that you liquidate, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is what you can do. You can go to, let's just say, a Sam's Club, right?
Mm-hmm.
And whenever you go to Sam's Club, you can say, I want to purchase, 4 or 5 MacBooks, $2,500 a piece. Let's just say, like I say, maybe 10,000, or if you only purchase a couple, you can, that's 5,000. You want to pay $100 on a debit card, and then you do the remaining amount on your credit card. So 100 on the debit, $4,900 mm-hmm. on the credit card. Whenever you go back, because you own both of these, debit and credit card, legally, you required a social security number to obtain this debit card. It required your social security number to obtain this credit card. That is your money. So now, if you want to take the money off of the credit card with no fees, you then can say, you know what? I want the money returned to my debit card. Now you insert your debit card in the machine and the money comes back directly to your checking account. And then you just liquidated money off of your credit card directly to your checking account. And then you could use it for an investment, or you could actually even pay it back to the credit card company. And then you got you $4,900 in rewards. Let's just say it's 2% cash back. That could pay your, your light bill. That could pay your water bill.
Come on now. And that is a perfect segue, because that's what I wanted to get into next. We talked a lot about 0% interest with these cards, but just as well as I do, a lot of these cards have perks that favor certain things, right? We have certain cards that work in favor of cash back, other cards that favor other funding products that favor things like travel, other cards that favor certain things like staying at hotels for free. Let's say I'm not all that interested. Like, the funding side is cool, but I want to travel for free. I want to stay at these hotels for free. I'm trying to live life lavishly, right? What are some of the, let's start off with the flying for free. Are there certain credit products that I should be looking into, certain resources I could be looking into where I could leverage my credit to I'm now able to travel for free?
Absolutely. I know everybody's going to be saying Hyatt. I know all the Chase people are going to be coming in, Hyatt right. is better than Marriott, et cetera, but it's solely dependent on your location, what you see desirable for you and your family. But if you're looking for, travel credit cards, it's many travel credit cards that you can get. And typically, check this out.
Typically,
whenever you go for the co-branded credit cards, they typically give out higher limits because it does not have a 0% APR phase. You ever notice that whenever you go for the Hilton card, the Marriott card, the Delta card, they'll give you $20,000, $30,000 limits on this card. If you have the properly structured profile, but then they kind of trap you into it because you're going to use this card to pay for vacation. You don't have a 0% APR phase. So they're luring you in with a higher limit. So what I would do, to be honest with you, is apply for this co-branded credit card and reallocate the limit to a cash back credit card or a points and miles credit card. Because then you could take the points and miles and then transfer them to different portals. Because once you use that Delta card, you can only use it for Delta. Once you get those Marriott points, you can only use them for Marriott. So get you an American Express or a Chase card, and then you're able to reallocate those points to different portals, and you're getting ratio, you know, balance ratio differences and all these different things. So that's what I would do as far as, you know, going out. But if you like those travel credit cards, it's a lot of different ones. But my strategy is to apply for the actual co-branded credit card, but reallocate the limit, because historically you're going to see higher limits on these co-branded credit cards because they don't have a 0% APR phase.
Got you. Now, does that same apply, and that's more so on the travel side of things, does that also apply? Because another thing I see, especially when I'm following people like yourself or even like the Sheeta Threes of the world, when you guys are getting on these flights and also getting these upgrades, right? To where you're getting on these flights and, you know, booking it as an economy, getting upgraded to like first class. What is that a relationship thing with these banks that you're forming? Is there something going on behind it? How does that work?
Oh, it's definitely a status. So like if you hold, let's just say, I honestly do hold a Delta Reserve card simply because I'm in Atlanta, right? And I'm doing a lot of the travel with flying Delta, et cetera. So you get actual upgrades, you know what I'm saying? Baggage fees are waived. You get, you know, priority lists, all these different things come with you just having access to this card. So, you know, once again, depending on your strategy, because someone that's in, let's just say Houston, right? It may be more beneficial for you to have an American Airlines credit card versus a Delta, because that's a hub for, you know, American Airlines, et cetera. Even though they do fly Delta out, Atlanta is the Delta hub. You know what I'm saying? So it makes a lot of sense for me to hold that card. But yes, depending on what card you have will also determine on what status you have. Whenever you have higher status, you're able to get, you know, free upgrades, you know, even on the hotel side. Like it varies per credit card.
Beautiful. Listen, Dub, I know we have to start getting you out of here. Before I get you out of here, there's two other things I got to do. I'll give you the floor to let the people know where they can find you. Last thing we got to do is this. Like I said, you have one of the best credit mentorships in the game right now, bar none. It's not even a discussion, not even a competition. If you could leave the people with one gem, whether it's a gem or a hack, one gem or one hack that you've never shared publicly before, one, and I'm putting you on the spot here, one gem or one hack, something to where your mentees aren't going to be too upset at you that you gave it away. But to where if I watch this episode, it's like, bro, y'all should have charged for us to even watch this. One, just one. What would it be?
So for people that has no credit established, you have a low credit score, right now it's tax time, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can go and get the TOMO credit card, TOMO. And what they will do, they will audit your checking account, see how much money that you have in this checking account, and then they'll give you a limit up to $10,000. Once again, this requires no credit check. So if you're on the journey and you're just starting to build credit, this is your first $10,000 primary trade line, not an authorized user or a secondary account, but a primary account. So this is going to help you along the way whenever you're building out this comparable credit. You have one credit card, your first credit card with a $10,000 limit on it, and it's reporting to all of the bureaus. This is what you call comparable credit, which positions you to get access to these larger limits as you go on your journey and start tapping into the business credit side.
Lord have mercy. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, Dub Washington himself, he came, he saw, blazed the damn stage down. My brother, I appreciate you for coming through and giving the people the game on top of game. I know we have to get you out of here, before we let you go, let the people know where they can find you and also what you have going on.
Listen, man, at Dub Washington across all social media platforms, every Thursday I do a free credit to cash mastery. You know, and I really give the game. If y'all think this episode was something like, I consistently do, you know, weekly webinars, but it's not just a repeat webinar. I consistently study. So I'm bringing updated data points. I'm dropping my top 15 different banks to run fundings with. And because the climate is changing so much, like the bank. Before I end this episode, I got to say this to everybody because I want to make sure everybody is in position for the rest of 2024.
Let's do it.
Look up the Bank Term Funding Program. This will be very major in how lending tightens up for the rest of 2024. For everybody that's not familiar, the Bank Term Funding Program was the relief fund that the Fed released to these regional banks. And side note, regional banks are the most lend-worthy to small businesses. So if you're doing under $4 or $5 million a year, majority of the lending is going to come from these regional banks. Now, as these regional banks tighten up restrictions and they tighten up the lending, you now have to go to the national banks. Remember, the national banks are here to service high net worth individuals. So whenever you have us coming in as a small business owner trying to get these national banks to give us funding to, you know, get into these different investments, you're going to have documentation. So if you've been operating in a place to where you haven't been filing your taxes and haven't doing any of this, once again, this is financial advice. File your taxes. I'm pretty sure Marvin would tell you the same. Like,
sure.
File taxes, because whenever you have documentation, this opens the door to unlimited funding. And with the strategies that we broke down today on how to take a credit card and go and build other banking relationships, the opportunities are endless. Let's eat.
Let's eat. Ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate each and every single one of y'all. And if you haven't already, what are you doing? Take a second, take a minute, take an hour out of your day right here, right now, to slap that like button, to show this episode some love. Make sure you could tap in with my guy, Dub. I'll be dropping his links in the description of this video. And as always, family, I appreciate you, my guy, Dub. Thank you for giving the game on top of game on top of game. And for everybody that tuned in and received all this value, y'all have been amazing. But as always, I'm Marvin Francois. My guy, Dub Washington. Y'all have been good. We've been great. This has been amazing. And as always, thank y'all and God bless. Peace, family.